Christianity Today did an article on the state of evangelism by Ed Stetzer. I'm pretty sure I'm saying his name right, but we're going with it. Stetzer. And he said, we found that 85% of believers on the ages 18 to 29, I believe this will apply further than that age group, agree that they have a responsibility to share the gospel with unbelievers. And 69% of those same people feel comfortable sharing their faith. However, only 25% of them look for ways to share the gospel. And 27% of them intentionally build friendships with unbelievers to do so. Ultimately, he found that while most Christians would affirm the importance of sharing the gospel, very few actually do this. Evangelism is something that we should all be doing to prepare for Jesus' return. You know, none of us know the day, the hour of Christ's return. We don't know, hold on one second, I need a drink. We don't know when he's coming. And I know like one of the adult Bible studies just finished up or is finishing up the book of Revelation. And I know that these different studies have been going on. But we need to remember in Matthew 24:36 says, now concerning the day or the hour, no one knows, not the angels in heaven nor the Son, except for the Father alone. And the Bible says, as in the days of Noah were, so the coming of the Son of Man will be. For in those days before the floods, they will be eating, drinking, marrying, and giving marriage until the day Noah boarded the ark. They didn't know until the flood came and swept them all away. This is the way the coming of the Son of Man will be. Why I think that's important is we need to understand that we don't know when Christ is coming back. Same as we don't know when someone's going to pass away. We don't know when those things will happen in our lives. And it's our job to share the faith with other people. You know, sometimes I wonder why here in America we don't share our faith as much. And after doing a little thinking and digging and reading and all that, you know, I think it has to do with a couple different things. First, it's an old saying. We shouldn't talk about politics and religion. You know, those are two things you just don't talk about with strangers. You don't talk about with people out and about because, you know, it may offend somebody. Other things I think it has to do with the fact we just don't want to stir the pot. And it kind of goes with the first one. We're scared what others will think and that we'll be rejected. But the Bible says in Mark 3:13, you will be hated by everyone because of my name. But the ones who endure to the end will be saved. You know, and then there's other times I wonder if we don't do it because we don't understand the repercussions of not sharing our faith. And I'm not talking about the repercussions for us ourselves. I'm talking about the repercussions for our friends and family. I think majority of the people that are sitting here in this audience this morning are mature believers, that you guys have a relationship with Jesus. I think majority of the people sitting here could say that. And with that being said, my question is, do you understand the repercussions of not sharing your faith with your friends and family who don't have that relationship with Jesus? That's one of the things I want to talk about this morning. Do we fully grasp where they're going to end up? And what is going to happen? That we're going to have friends and family who will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Will not be able to be there in that glory. Especially if they continue walking the path that they're walking. Do we understand that hell is a literal place? That it's real? It's not some place that somebody just thought of. It's a real place. And that we have friends and family on their way there. And they're going there because we don't want to get uncomfortable and have that awkward conversation. What do we know about hell? I just picked up a couple passages out of the Bible. There's a lot more out there, but this is what I got. Revelation 20:15 says that anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. It's anyone who's not saved. The smoke and their torment will go up forever and ever. It's a never-ending thing. They will be thrown into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We know that the Bible tells us, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go to hell. It is literally better to be crippled here on earth than for them to be in hell. Think about that for a moment. It is literally better for them to be crippled here on earth than to end up in hell. I don't want any of my friends and family there. I don't know about you guys, but I don't want them there. I would rather tell them the truth and they get offended than hold my tongue and they end up in hell. There's a story in the Bible, Luke chapter 16, for anybody who wants to follow along, verses 19 through 27, 28. Starts off with in verse 19. There was a rich man who would dress in purple and fine linen, feasting lavishly every day. But a poor man named Lazarus, covered in sores, was lying at his gate. He longed to be filled from what fell from the rich man's table, but instead the dogs would come and lick his sores. One day the poor man died and was carried away by the angels of Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And being tormented in Hades, Hades is another word for hell, he looked up and saw Abraham a long way off with Lazarus at his side. And he yells out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip his tip of his finger in his water and cool my tongue because I'm in agony in this flame." He's sitting here in hell and all he wants is one little drop of water from the tip, for at least for that one little moment of relief, because he's not getting it. He's sitting there. And it continues in verse 25. "Son," Abraham said, "remember that during your life you received your good things just as Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here while you are in agony. Besides all this, there's a great chasm that has been fixed between us, so that those who want to pass over from here to you cannot, and neither can those from there cross over to us. There is no escaping hell." And this points that out. Once you are there, you are there. Once that moment in life comes, that's where you're at. There's no working your way out. Once someone is in hell, they're there for all eternity. In verse 27 through 28, it continues. And he cries out to Abraham, Then I beg you to send him to my father's house, because I have five brothers, to warn them, so they won't also come to this place of torment." He's nervous for his brothers. He's nervous for what that means. He's nervous for the direction that if they continue living their life, they're going to end up where he's at. At his moment in time, it is too late. His fate is sealed, but he doesn't want his brothers to have the same fate he's having. Guys, I don't talk about hell, and I tried to make sure I didn't get too much into it, because it's not a fire and brimstone that I'm trying to do. What I want you guys to understand is that hell is a real place, that our friends and families that we have are going there. Unless we are the hands and feet of Jesus and are willing to step outside, this is real. And sometimes it's taking that realization within ourselves for us to get to that moment where we're ready to move and we're willing to have that tough conversation. Because I would rather have that tough conversation and give it a shot than then they end up in hell and they look at me and go, "Why didn't you say something to me? Why didn't you? I knew you were a Christian. Why didn't you ever come tell me about this?" And that's something that we have to keep in mind. But why aren't people sharing their faith? As he pointed out in the article I mentioned earlier, most Christians agree they should share their faith. They just don't because they're nervous or scared they're going to mess up. How many of you guys is in here sometimes when it comes to you're just nervous to share your faith? That's welcome to the culture. It's everybody's that way. It's not mad at you for it. And here's a couple of the key things that I think are some of the reasons. I'm afraid they'll ask a question I cannot answer. Yep. I know that one. You know, we watch these Frank Turek videos in here on Sunday morning sometimes, and man, he can just spit that stuff. Like, it's nothing. He's just standing there and he's spitting them out. And you're like, man. But you know, he didn't get there overnight. He got there because he studied it. He got into God's Word. He read books. He took that time. But I'll tell you what, it's impressive. He's better than I am at that stuff. I got no problems admitting that. He seems to answer those questions really easily. Now remember, that's also one video. Might be staged. I'm just throwing it out there. He may have known the question was coming. But he got there through practice. He is good at what he does. But eventually, no matter how much you prepare, there's going to be a question that you can't answer. There's going to be a question. Let me give you an example. A little bit of a funny example, but it's a good example. Can God microwave a burrito so hot that he himself cannot eat it? Who in here can answer that question? I bet you none of you guys can you? Because I can't. But you know what? Not knowing, it's okay. If you don't know the answer, it's okay. There are things that we will never fully understand or know until the moment that we are standing in front of God Himself. Once we hit that moment, that's when we will know. And that's when He will show us. And being willing to say, I don't know, is just fine. In fact, here's a couple things that you could do instead. I don't know. Let's go look it up together. Let's go find it out. Or another one is, I don't know, let me get back to you. And I love that one I love both of them, but that one too, because it shows one, both of them show one thing. You're not going to lie about who God is. And if there's one thing I want to encourage every single person here, if you legitimately do not know an answer when it comes to God, you say, I don't know. Do not give a false answer just to make it look like you've got the answers. You tell the truth, and if you don't know, say, let me get back to you. Because that shows that you take this seriously, that God is not a joke to you, and that this is real. And by doing that, it gives you that ability to do that, and it also gives you an opportunity to come back and continue the conversation. Hey, by the way, remember? Yeah, we were talking about that. Here's the question you had. I got the answer for you. I found it. It gives you that opening, that opportunity to dig in. There's a passage that I had to memorize in college, and I love it to this day. It's 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts regard Christ as the Lord as holy, ready at any time to give a defense to anyone who asks for the reason for the hope that is in you. Just an idea that we are called as Christians to be prepared to do this. Another good question that I get occasionally is, I don't know how to start a conversation when it comes to my faith. And let's be honest, it can be awkward sometimes, and it can seem like a struggle to share your faith or sharing the gospel, especially if it's not something that you've practiced or something you haven't done a lot in your life. It never feels natural to start talking about your faith out of the blue or transition into a conversation towards faith if you haven't practiced it. Sometimes it can feel awkward and almost forced. How many of you guys have been there? Yeah? I believe this is one of those times we need to sit back and pray. Starting the conversation is not something that has to just be in every moment, everything. It's paying attention. It is praying, asking the Holy Spirit to help show you when those openings are. Sharing your faith is not something you do alone. Sharing your faith is something you do with the Holy Spirit, not just yourself. And it can seem awkward and it can seem difficult, but you'll be surprised when you pray and you ask for those openings. I can't begin to tell you how many stories I have that God has just kind of showed that door open and I walked right through it and it was awesome at the end. You're like, whoa. He just let me do this? That's crazy. Let me give you guys, this isn't a big crazy one, but it's a good example about waiting for an opening. I had a driver call me this last week. He's having a difficult time. He's going through divorce hearings right now. He's struggling. And he just kind of wanted to give me a heads up. He's like, I don't know how it's going to go. I might lose my temper. For all I know, I'll be in jail by the end of the day. He just had a whole mix of stuff going on within his life. But here was the deal. I sat there and I listened to him and I was like, I've never spoke to him about God, this particular driver. I didn't know where he was at in his faith. I didn't know if he believed at all. He kind of had that attitude about him that I almost wondered if he was an atheist at certain points. And I just flat out said, and I'm not going to say his name, but I said, would you mind if I prayed with you? I said, I don't know where you stand on all this, but would you mind if I prayed with you? There was a good 30-second pause on the other end and you're sitting there going, do, 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 do. You don't know what's going to happen, you know? Like, what's this response? He's like, you know what? Actually, I would really like that. And this was before the court hearings. So I prayed for him. I prayed that he would have the ability to have peace and calm no matter what the judge's ruling is, that he would stay calm, that he would stay collective, that everything would be put together. Well, guess what? He called me right after, and he says, it did not go the way I wanted. Not even close. In fact, he goes, you can think the worst case scenario, that was the outcome. And you're like, this isn't helping my case at all. But here is the cool thing. He goes, but I stayed calm through the entire situation. He goes, I felt like someone was standing behind me the entire time I was there. And we talked for another good half hour or so. And he came out and he said, he found the beauty in all of this. He's going to be able to go in front of a different judge. And then this judge has been working against him since about the first month into their case. And that's what his excitement is. He's been wanting to go in front of another judge and hasn't been able to. So this judge ruled against him, but now this gives him that opportunity. And then we prayed again. Now what's been interesting is this is also a man who has threatened to kill himself. This is a man who has been told that, you know, he's like, what can I do for my family? I can't pay what they're asking me to pay. I can't afford these things. And he's starting to look at the beauty. I wonder if what would have happened if I didn't take that moment, if I didn't listen to that still small voice and take that moment and just pray with him and start sharing the gospel. He even made a comment by the time we were all done. He goes, you know, it's been 4 years since I've been inside of a church, but I think it's time I start looking for one again. Think about that. We don't know what that impact will have. The more you practice that, and I think even more importantly, the more you learn to trust the Holy Spirit, the better at this you will become. Another one that happens a lot is that I struggle with my own faith, is another comment that I've heard. We've all been there. We all have moments where we question different aspects of our faith or different areas of the Bible, or we're trying to wrap our heads around it. There are parts of the Bible that sometimes make us go, I don't know if I kind of get what you're saying here. But I always remember Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the reality of what is hoped for and the proof of what is not seen. You know, going back to the struggling with our faith, with that, one thing I want you to keep in mind, people aren't attracted to the gospel when it's presented by perfect, flawless people. They're attracted to the gospel when it's presented by real people, by people who make mistakes. I always find it interesting when we see the Pharisees and stuff hanging out in the synagogues and praying, and there's a thank you, God, that I am not like this sinner over here. Thank you that I do all these great things. And then you do have the sinner, the tax collector, sitting on the side saying, God, have mercy on me, for I am a sinner. Guess which one Jesus said is the one that gets saved at the end? The one who calls himself a sinner, who understands that he's not perfect. And when we're reaching out for others, being authentic, being real, is one of the things that helps them. Because we got to remember, no one is perfect, not one, except for God. That's who's perfect. And there's another verse that I always like to keep in mind. When we're struggling, even with just a little bit of faith, God can move mountains. Matthew 17:20 says, for truly I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will tell this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. If you even just have a grain of faith, you have the power and the ability to share your faith. And we're all called to share the Jesus, no matter where we're at in our walk. And in fact, in Matthew 28:19-20, and I'm big on this verse, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. What we're called to do is the Great Commission, folks. Not really an option. Not something that, no, we're just told, let's go. And then last but not least, and I get this one. I never learned how. How many in here have never actually sat down and had anyone teach them how to share your faith? Anybody not had that? I think it's a big one here in America, especially that, you know, in past years and past decades, we grew up in a society where everybody went to church on Sundays, everybody went to church on Wednesdays, and if you didn't go, you were basically a heathen. Okay? This was society. This is the place the culture came together to interact and to have that time. And we didn't really focus as much on evangelism and stuff in our communities because the whole community went to church. And so I think some of that stuff wasn't taught and ingrained in us as much. And because of that, it's kind of had us, lack of a better way of putting it, we gotten lazy. You know, you came to do business. You came to do all the different things. That's something we didn't practice. Sharing your faith. I remember even growing up for me in my church, growing up, we didn't practice sharing our faith. You know? We went to school with everybody. I started off at Clinton Christian. So everybody I went to school with on top of that, well, they at least heard about them. We talked about it in school. But nowadays what we have is we have sports and different activities taking over those Wednesdays and Sunday slots. You know, we have sporting activities. They have entire leagues that are Sunday-only leagues of sporting activities because they just couldn't figure out where else they could fit it because everything else was packed. I don't know if you guys know this, but there's a ton of books and guides and different things like that, resources right outside the doors over here that are free as well. How many of you guys have picked those up and read through them? They're free. How many of you guys have studied them and learned how to use them? You know, a lot of times it's so easy to binge watch a TV show on the weekends, right? Or in the evening you get home and you start watching the local news and then you watch several of your favorite TV shows and then you watch your other news and all that. And then we go to bed. But yet opening our Bible for 15 minutes is an absolute struggle. I just got done going through the entire Word of God from Genesis 1:1 all the way to Revelation chapter 22. Did it in 2 years. with a group of about 200 men. We sat there each and every day. We had a reading assignment. I already read the Bible on a very regular basis, but I'm going to tell you what, to do it the way we did it, even I had a struggle. Until you get into that rhythm, you have to be intentional. If you want to learn how to share your faith, you have to be intentional to watch those videos. You have to be intentional to read the Word of God. You have to be intentional. You have to make it an important part of your life. And it's not just using the excuse, I don't know. The amount of free resources, the amount of websites. How many of you guys are on your phones looking through Facebook in the evening, sitting there scrolling after scrolling after scrolling? And yet you can just go on Frank Turek's website. He's got YouTube videos out there. He's got all these other things that had helped prepare you on that. There is Bible apps, folks. I don't know if you know that on your phone. And you can sit there, instead of scrolling Facebook, you could be scrolling the Word of God and reading that. There's even ones that'll read to you. So as you're driving to work, you can hit play and you can hear the Word of God as you're driving. There's options, there's ways to do this that'll help prepare you. You know, because the one thing I'm going to say, you can practice the apologetics and all that stuff like Frank Turek, or you can also just dive into the Word of God on its own. And guess what? It's going to stick. Because the Word of God is stronger than any double-edged sword in its heart. Wow, I can't even say that right now, my tongue. It'll pierce the hardest of hearts, guys. The Word of God is like a double-edged sword, and it will pierce the hardest of hearts. And if we start taking that more seriously and taking it in there. So my prayer for you guys, and I know it's kind of been a little bit all over the place this morning, and I struggled, I'm going to be honest, it's about four different versions that I put together for this morning. And about 6:30 this morning is when this final one was put together. And that's because, one, I didn't want to feel like, I didn't want you guys to feel like I'm trying to browbeat you guys for this, or just smacking you around. But I want you guys to understand why it's so important that we get out there and we share our faith. I'm going to read this one last verse. Matthew 24, 37 through 44. As the days of Noah were, so was the coming of the Son of Man will be. For in those days before the flood, they will be eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah boarded the ark. They didn't know until the flood came and swept them all away. This is the way the coming of the Son of Man will be. Then two men will be in the fields, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding grain with a handmill, one will be taken and one will left. Therefore, be alert, since you don't know what day your Lord is coming. But know this, if the homeowner had known what time the thief is coming, he would have stayed alert and not let his house be broken into. This is why you also will be ready. Because the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. I'm going to point this out real quick. When they were on the boat for Noah, it's very important we keep this in mind. He's sitting there. God gave him time. He gave him the command to start building. And he started building. And I'm sure he told the others on why he's doing this and what God told him to do. And God pushed off the rain. God pushed off the rain. God pushed off the rain until Noah got all the flood, everything put together. And then everybody got on there. And that was the last minute. And when that minute came, that door shut. The fate was sealed for everybody outside the ark. There was no last minute thing anymore. And that is the reason that we need to be diligent to sharing the faith. Because when Jesus comes back, there is no changing it. There is no going back and sharing that one more. Their fate is sealed at that moment. There is nothing changing. When they close their eyes for that last time, their fate is sealed at that moment. And that is why we have to go do this. That is why we're called to be uncomfortable and to get out and share our faith. So that they don't end up in hell. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the ability we have to get together and to praise and to worship you. Father, just help light a new fire in us. A new excitement to get your word out there. So that all the world may know your name. And all the world may see you for who you are. Father, we want to thank you for your Son, Jesus, and everything he did for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.